There's a reason Ragazzi's has been voted locally for best Italian fare. They keep their patrons well fed and hydrated. After all, Ragazzi's is home with a frozen fish bowl on special for five singles from 3 to 6. Or come in early for the nurse's happy hour from 8 to 10 a.m. and check out their newly opened patio. Stop in for Ragazzi's nationally recognized pizza or award-winning toasted ravioli and leave with a full belly and a smiling face. I guarantee you'll be coming back for more. Ragazzi's on the Hill at 4945 Daggett.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wow.
Well, we Wednesday.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. Jeff Passan with us in the previous segment. John Kelly with us in the 8 o'clock hour. And we just had hot takes in the 7 o'clock hour presented by Acorns Golf, acornsgolflinks.com. Sailor Jerry Spystrom is created in honor of Norman Sailor Jerry Collins, undisputed father of the old school tattoo, a Navy vet who built his rep inking soldiers and sailors in the World War II era in Honolulu, a true American icon and a stubborn son of a bitch who never compromised his standards or ideals. They make their rum to keep his legacy alive. Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum is made the old school way, 92 proof, bold and smooth as hell. Matthew Barnaby going to join us here on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. Your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Back into Blues hockey we go and the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is day one. Red Wings. Ning. Doug, you call it wingy wingy, ningy ningy.
I don't really call it that, no.
Rangers, Penguins, Blues, and Blackhawks at the Scott Trade Center. And joining us right now to talk it over is Matthew Barnaby. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
It is great to have you on. I am anxious to hear what you think of this series that I think most people associated with the NHL look at as one of, if not the premier first-round series of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I think if you look at the East, it's Pittsburgh and the New York Rangers. But in the West, I think everyone's looking at Chicago, the defending Stanley Cup champions, and a team that's won three of the last Stanley Cups, and St. Louis, a team trying to get where Chicago is. And we all know the battles that they've had over the years, the hatred between the two franchises. And this is going to be one to watch. It's going to be an unbelievable series.
You have played on a number of the teams that are in the playoffs right now, including the Blackhawks. How do you see the Blues and Blackhawks matching up? What do you think the keys or the differences between the two teams are?
You know what? To me, they're two very close teams when you break it down. They're both pretty deep offensively. I'd say Chicago plays a more of a skilled game than St. Louis, but St. Louis plays a heavier game. St. Louis has changed their dynamic of their team with the additions of some youngsters that are in the lineup now that maybe they haven't had in the past, or at least as part of their team as a full, and that's the Robbie Fabries and the Jaden Schwartzes who are coming into their own and healthy now, and I think that adds more of a dynamic offensively to this team that maybe they didn't have. Paul Stastny's playing some of his best hockey as of late since being acquired and then signed as a free agent with this team a couple years ago. So I think it's going to be a great series. Again, two different teams. The hatred, I think, will bring some of that feistiness out of both teams and maybe take a different dynamic from the Chicago Blackhawks. But I think it's going to be a very even series. St. Louis people, I've never picked them in the last bunch of years to win a playoff round against a quality team. But this year I'm taking St. Louis in seven. I like their team. I think Duncan Keith being out in game one, I like St. Louis has home ice and especially have their home crowd behind them early on in the series when a guy like Duncan Keith, one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League, is out. So I'm going with St. Louis in seven, and I'm getting ridiculed by a lot of people around the NHL.
Why would you get ridiculed for that?
Because everyone just goes with the natural defending champion and the. You have the Hart Trophy winner, probably, in Patrick Kane. The dynamic of Duncan Keith when he does come back with Brent Seabrook, and everyone considers Corey Crawford one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League. So there are a few few of my colleagues out there picking St. Louis, but again, most people are going with the defending Stanley Cup champions to win this in six games.
The Crawford thing, he was out for a long stretch, just came back, wasn't great. Does that factor into how he may perform in this series?
You know what? I guess time will tell, but if he's healthy to go, you have to think that he's 100%. At least I do. And again, time will tell. We'll know right away in game one how he looks and if he has any rust to him. But I guess the big thing for a lot of people is how will Brian Elliott start? He's been great this year. His numbers are off the charts good, and a goals against average of right around two, a save percentage at around 930, 23-8-6, I believe, were the numbers we talked about yesterday. So, but everyone wants to see how he does in the playoffs more than Corey Crawford, because he's won Stanley Cups. But I really have confidence in the St. Louis team and the way that they play, the discipline that they have. I think that they're very well coached, and we've been through this ad nauseum. What will happen if they don't get by the Chicago Blackhawks with the coaching staff from St. Louis. But this is a very deep team, and you look at the back end, they're as good as to me as anyone in the National Hockey League, and this was before they added a Colton Parayko, who had a great rookie year. So this is a very, very deep hockey team. I fully expect them to at least give them a great run, if not win the series.
Patrick Kane led the league in scoring by a lot, 106 points. How do you think the Blues will stop him? Will they just try to hammer him or put somebody in his face all night? Or what will they do about Kane?
Well, I think you're going to look at Backes, I think, being in a checking role. I think they have, and that's to say hopefully he's at 100%. I know he practiced yesterday. And you're going to be physical on him, at the same time being smart. I think a lot of reasons why he looks so good on the highlight films, and we see him on SportsCenter on any given night making people look foolish or scoring just unbelievable goals, is people give him too much time and space because they are afraid of getting beat. I don't think with the quality of defensemen that St. Louis has, the depth of the defensemen, quality defensemen that they have, and the size that they are, that they will give him that time and space. I think they know, I think they're well coached, and I think they will take that time and space away. So as good as he was during the regular season, as great a hockey player as I think Patrick Kane is, I don't think we'll see anywhere close to the numbers that he put up during the regular season.
Blues have a bunch of new faces for this season, particularly the young guys that have played such a big part, the Fabries, the Edmondsons, et cetera. But Blues fans just think about early playoff exits. you played in the league a long time. Does that even, if you have something like that, does that even factor in from a player's perspective? Because I would get the sense that a new season starts anew, especially the playoffs.
If anyone ever listens to me, whether it's on TV or on the radio, I will never bring up, unless it's like last year, but I won't go back to 5 years ago. It's different players. And yes, are there some of the same guys that have been through this before? Yeah, but every time you have a new team, you have a new dynamic and you have a new focus on what you want to do. So these guys aren't thinking about last year. They aren't thinking about maybe the failures that they've had in the past when they've been up 2-0 on Chicago and blown that lead, and Chicago's come back and won. It's a new season. This team believes that they are, I believe, better than the Chicago Blackhawks right now. I believe this team believes that they will win this series and has no past maybe failures in the back of their mind that they can't succeed. So it's a fresh start. It's a fresh go. And from when I've talked to these guys from St. Louis, there's no fear. There's respect for the Chicago Blackhawks, but they are not fearing them one bit.
How would you rate the goaltender matchup? Elliott's been dynamite all year long, and now we read from some other analyst a moment ago said they would give the edge to Corey Crawford. Of course, we don't like to hear that, but as well as Elliott's played, I kind of think he's as good as anybody going right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to give the edge to Corey Crawford just because anytime you've been there, done that, you've been through the pressures and succeeded. Brian Elliott, in brutal reality, has been very weak in playoff series, as Jake Allen last year let in a few bad ones in game fives and six of the series that they were in. So the edge has to go to Corey Crawford only because he's been there, done that, and went through those pressures. If you look at Brian Elliott's numbers this year, I mean, most people, as I would, I think the last time we spoke would have been Jake Allen would have been the guy going through. Unfortunately, the injury and the great play of Brian Elliott, which is a blessing, for St. Louis is that he is at the top of his game. If we had to look at right now who's playing better, who's at the top of their game right now, the answer is Brian Elliott. But we do go back and then we have to rely on past performances. There's still a question mark on Brian Elliott, but if he plays anywhere near to the way that he's played lately and the numbers that he's put up this year, Brian Elliott has nothing to worry about going forward.
When you look at the playoff matchup and all the different components, and if you give the goaltending edge to the Blackhawks, isn't that the most important edge to have as goaltending once you hit the postseason?
I guess it could be. I don't put all that much stock in needing a goaltender to be amazing. I don't think Brian Elliott, I don't think for St. Louis to win this series, Brian Elliott needs to be amazing. I just think he needs to be very good. I think he needs to be good. I don't think he can let in some of the squeakers that we've seen in the past. The bad goals just suck the life out of you, and they just take that momentum from your team. Again, are there times he has to come up with a big save? Absolutely. Same thing for Corey Crawford for the Chicago Blackhawks. But I don't think either of these goalies have to play great. I just think they have to play good and give their teams a chance to win every single night. And if I look at both the lineups, I think I give the edge on D to the St. Louis Blues. Chicago, besides Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook and Jarmelson, that's three guys. Last year they had four. They had Johnny Oduya. There's no more Johnny Oduya there. So this is a very deep group of defensemen for the St. Louis Blues, so I give the edge to there. And if I look at the forwards, I probably give the edge to the St. Louis Blues as well, only because I think they're a deeper group than the Chicago Blackhawks. The star power, I think if you look at Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, we think of them, but I mean, St. Louis has their own stars, and that's Alexander Steen, and Vladimir Tarasenko had 40 goals. Paul Stastny's playing at the top of his game, so very close offensively. I probably even give the edge to St. Louis. So if I'm giving the edge to St. Louis in forwards and defensemen, I give the edge to the special teams. If you look at the PK to St. Louis, power plays pretty darn close. Goaltending to Chicago, to me, I add those up, and it's a St. Louis win in seven.
You mentioned the depth of the Blues. That's sort of their MO, is that they run four lines and they wear down an opponent. How big of an advantage is that once you hit the playoffs?
It's a big, big advantage. Teams that can only play three lines or that aren't confident in their fourth line to be able to go out there, it wears on you. It's especially the first round is such an intense round, and people are going at 110 miles an hour and at 110% all of the time. So to be able to have that luxury to be able to roll four lines, have confidence in them, not overplay your stars, and I think it's especially big in a game one when they don't have Duncan Keith that logs almost 30 minutes a night and one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. So I'd be very surprised if this wasn't, for the most part, a dump and chase first period, second period, and wear those guys down, because they are going to be playing with probably three defensemen rotating in Seabrook and Jarmelson every second shift as much as they can, because I'm not sold on 4, 5, and 6 yet for the Chicago Blackhawks until we see them under a lot of pressure that they're going to face.
One of the Blues' fourth-round guys, Ryan Reeves, would you expect him to get considerable time tonight to run around and hit people a little bit, soften some people up?
I think they're going to disperse it very well. I think they're going to have that luxury that we just talked about, but he has to be physical. They have to be physical. At the same time, the big thing in the playoffs, and the big thing is for an emotional team, an emotional fourth line like they are, is to stay under control. You do not want to give Patrick Kane and Anisimov and Panarin just free looks on the power play to burn you. You have to be physical. It's part of the game. It's part of their game plan. But discipline is paramount. If they do not have discipline, they are going to get bit, and it's going to hurt. It's going to feel like a Rottweiler coming at you. That's how much they can hurt you on the power play. So be physical, but be disciplined, or you're in trouble against this Chicago Blackhawks team.
Matthew Barnaby, 14-year NHL veteran and host on Sirius XM NHL Radio, kind enough to join us here as the Stanley Cup playoffs get underway this evening. Matthew, we appreciate the time as always, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck to everyone there, and we'll be following. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Matthew.
Right, thank you, Martin.
He's got the Blues in seven. He says he's getting ridiculed by some of his peers in the league. But he's got
because they're saying Corey Crawford has the edge, even though he's been hurt, and Elliott has been best in the league?
You can understand how, from a national perspective, people would pick the Blackhawks.
Because of Vince Vaughn, they're scared of him.
They're there every year. They make a long run. It seems every year they go a ways.
The Blues have made some long runs.
Well, they haven't. Not lately, they haven't.
Last year.
I know this much. When you're sizing up the two teams, when you get down to who's got the best sports talk radio, checkmark St. Louis, okay?
Nice!
Checkmark St. Louis.
Nice! Look at you!
And that, don't think that's not a factor.
You think Backus is thinking about that when he hits the ice? I'm going to do it for St. Louis
you
sports talk radio?
Yeah, I don't want anybody to get sideways with me on these airwaves. Don't think it's not a factor.
First of all, very few people listen to your radio show.
No!
Hey, sorry, Donald.
Doug, Truman's and Soulard's the place you want to go before and after the game. Truman's and Soulard, the place to be both for Blues and for Cardinals. April fun and games. Their covered patio is perfect for watching the game on their huge outdoor TVs. If you need a ride to the ballpark, take the free shuttle to and from the game. Truman's Place in Soulard, your neighborhood bar. They're at 1818 Sydney Street or online at TrumansSoulard.com. Truman's and Soulard, one of our great sponsors here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We're looking forward to your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. That is coming your way at around 9:45, Doug. Probably okay. Cucky the Dwarf going to bring heat. And then also you're going to have Misty Plops and bring heat.
Same five people every day.
What?
It's pretty much the same five, six people every day.
I disagree. We have a reach of, Tim has done the research on this, over 17 million.
Yep.
17 million listeners.
We're just scared to email in because we have a crop at the top of our emailer list that are so good. Right. Who's going to beat them?
Yeah. I don't know.
We got dynasties.
Well, some days we could use a few more emails, some better ones. And not so darn dirty, not so nasty. Discipline. Discipline is the thing. That's what Matthew Barnaby was saying. It's about discipline.
Doug, this is Fungo.
Oh, hello, Fungo.
Come on, Tim. How are you?
Doug just got blown up. Fungo, how are you, sir?
Oh, doing fine. I was instructed by a certain coach to call in here, discuss the weekend of basketball in CYC.
Tournament went pretty well for the St. Gabe's guys again, didn't it?
Well, yes, it did, for two of the three teams that we had in the finals.
And where were these games played? They were not played at St. Gabriel's, contrary to what some are suggesting.
Well, they weren't. We had to travel out to the beautiful gym of Incarnate Word.
Wow.
Out there, Olive Street Road.
Yep, the Boston Garden of CYC.
Yes, sir. Beautiful floor. Love it.
One of the hosts on this show continually insinuates that at some point some money changes hands, and that's why your programs are so successful. Not me. I don't want to name names. Doug.
Doug, I'll tell you. No money was changed hands, but I heard a hug was given, though.
Well, I expect it was a little bit more than a hug. Yeah, and these officials, you travel to the away games, don't you?
Well, we had, believe it or not, we did not have any Gabriel officials. We had the lovely Mike Nolan.
Mike Nolan, one of the best in the business.
And the ugly, and even lovelier Jeff Herman, former contributor to your show.
Oh, that's really? Right. He did the show with Dan Kurtz, Doug.
Yeah, but he lives down there in that St. Gabe's area, doesn't he?
Well, he's a Southside boy.
Sure he is. Yeah,
oh, no.
Imagine
Jeff,
that.
Jeff,
no.
Wait a minute. Jeff, no. We know.
Wait.
He's an upstanding guy, Doug. How dare you?
That's America.
That's slanderous, sir.
They had to put him there because of the fact that we played St. Catherine Laboret and beat them.
Well, for heaven's
sake. Doug, isn't that your parish?
Yeah, there's nobody available from the Sunset Hills region to go out and officiate the game, so they just happened to get a couple guys from the Southside.
There wasn't anybody from the Sunset Hills area because they checked and they couldn't find anybody worthy enough.
Ah, for heaven's sakes.
So there were three St. Gabriel's teams playing for the City-County Championship. Two won a City-County Championship. Who won? What grade and who would have got it?
Your good friend there, Tim, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, Doug.
His seventh grade girls won. They're on their quest to next year win.
How many City-County Championships does Big Daddy now have, Doug? Do you know how many he has?
I don't know. I haven't followed it.
I don't know. A lot.
I'm happy about all the success, but it seems like you guys are a little too scared to match up with Block Yeshiva. When is that going to happen?
Well, they turn out some athletes there.
I think we got them scheduled for preseason next year.
All right,
it's
good.
A preseason
it's about
game.
Time.
I think St. Gabriel has to travel to Creve Coeur.
That congratulations to the girls' team, the fifth grade girls' team from St. Catherine Laboret. They did beat another South County team. to win the championship this past weekend.
Well, did they? They must not have been playing St. Gabe's.
Looks as if it's Queen of All Saints.
Yeah.
That was a big South County year for the fifth grade girls, Doug. Yeah.
Now, the St. Gabe's tournament proper, who would have won that this year?
Well, let's see here.
What, do you have records of this right in front of you?
Fairly good chance, but the girls, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
St. Gabe's. I don't think
the St. Gabriel's girls have lost in 5 years.
Well, absolutely not. I'm surprised they've ever lost.
No, they.
Boy, you get some home cooking down in that gym.
That we do, especially the good hot dogs that we sell too.
Good hot dogs. But
I understand that your son, when he was playing with the junior division of the CYC, won the City County Championship. Is
your
that correct?
Son won a City County Championship, Doug?
As eighth graders.
Did they really?
As eighth graders, they did.
Basketball?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. St. Catharines? St. Kitty's?
Yeah, St. Catharines.
You payoff officials? Did you?
No, oh, well, of course not. That game was on the up and up, that one.
Of course it was. Well, congratulations to you. I know how you must feel.
Well, that was quite a while
condescending
ago.
To me.
About 8 years ago, but yeah, they had a good time with it.
Yeah, but you guys still talk about it when you get together.
Maybe it wasn't eighth grade. Maybe it was like high school years.
Maybe it never happened. High school. Maybe you made it up.
I think it was high school years, now that I think about it, because it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. No. My sources tell me it was when he was a senior in high school, in the junior division that they have in the CYC.
I think you're right, yeah.
You have sources on the CYC City County?
I think you're right, yeah. It was high
and
school.
Doug, you confirm but, Fungo sources.
I'm going to tell you, I know how you felt because my daughter and some of her girls, they won it 6 years in a row.
Did they really?
Yeah.
And were you working those games as well?
Yeah, I was the coach.
Yeah. You got a guy on the scoreboard, too? Because a couple of times you leave me my score bucket. Hey, count it. That was two. What? I didn't see anything.
Now, who was the coach? It was the eighth grade boys who won the city-county championship?
Yes, it was Mike Cartman's younger brother, Johnny.
Doug, that's Big Matthew Daddy's Bessie younger brother.
Oh, yeah.
And your famous texter that you get there all the time. Cal Kennedy,
Doug. I wonder how many Coach. Championships Cal has.
Well,
I mean, this is like
up.
You're listing Krzyzewski,
yep.
You're listing Calipari,
yep.
And you're listing.
Well, you get the zebras.
Kim Anderson.
You get the zebras in your pocket, and there's really no limit to what you might win.
Well, you got to keep those shirts into your pockets and then in your cars all the time, so that you know when to do it.
Yep.
Oh gosh, I know it's a racket.
That's right. Shirt will travel.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to St. Gabriel's, Doug. It's the UCLA of grade school basketball.
Seems to be.
Yep.
Seems to
yeah.
be.
Big Daddy is
one
John
of the
Wooden.
UCLA. There's plenty of them, but congratulations to all the kids that played this year and the champions that in all the divisions.
Yep, Doug, there it is.
I will end with one thing. It
What's
was
that?
A pleasure to have been down there for your 10th anniversary. But Tim, I'll never forget the picture that you took of Doug and I when he was bowing to me like Obama does to royalty.
Here we go.
There's a South City take. All right, back to the STL Today comment section, Fungo.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Right. There it is, Doug.
Thank
St.
You,
Gabriel's,
Fungo.
Another two championships. They will hoist the banners, and you will be there to emcee the event.
The head official who simply makes things happen for that program.
Wait, doesn't it? He also is he able to coach a team and be the official at the same time?
Sure. He gives
because
a little...
that would seem to be an unfair advantage if you were coaching one team yeah. but also officiating the game.
I've seen it. You know, maybe the official's a relative and he'll give a wink or a nod of the head. Oh, wait, that was a foul. Sorry, let's shoot three, gentlemen. Yeah.
And the scoreboard
Ref,
thing?
They've got... St. Gabe's has got seven guys on the floor. Knock it off, coach. Sit down. I will run you out of this gym.
I see five.
Right.
Immaculata boys basketball in the mid-2000s was a dynasty. Thank God PED testing wasn't regulated at that level back then.
Mm-hmm.
Juan, PP Corp.
Boy, they do run a tight ship, some of those CYC refs. Not talking about St. Gabe's here, but some of them are really happy to be in charge of something. My son's kid had a guy run out of the gym. This is high school because he had a wide open layup and he tried to dunk. They threw him out of the gym. Not just technical foul or anything. Threw him out of the gym.
Well, in certain leagues, you don't want to embrace athleticism.
No, you sure?
Come on, Zeebs. They got too many out there. Knock it off or I will run you out of this gym.
Yep.
Do the CYC players end up being like stars in high school or is it sort of a parallel thing?
No. The stars in high school play AAU ball. What? They don't play a lot of CYC, no. CYC is your school team.
What do you mean? My friend Dr. Jack Nierman played at Vianney.
Okay. There are some exceptions, but normally the top high school basketball players are not playing CYC ball.
I made it to the second round of cuts at SLU.
Did you?
Yep.
Did you play somewhere other than CYC basketball?
No.
That was it. All right.
Where I lived,
it takes a lot more hoops than that usually to get to the high school level.
When I played back east, it was CYO, not CYC, and I actually played a year of CYO basketball.
Doug, look at that. But congratulations to John Vaughn for winning.
No, this is Greg.
Congratulations to Greg Vaughn.
His high school
congratulations.
Team. Okay.
Fungo's daughter won it 6 years in a row.
I know.
He kind of put that right in your face.
This is a while ago. 3-4 years, I guess.
You have his trophy next to your Emmys?
I don't know that he even got a trophy. I don't know.
Guys, as a St. Gabe's alum, I am shocked that he wasn't a fan of our president. Thank you. Doug, that's one of the Pandolfos. I believe it's Mario.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of with Fungo there.
You ought to come on down to the south side.
Yeah, maybe I'd fit in.
Guys, shout out to the Henschels also. Thanks. It's from the 314. Remember
okay.
The Henschels?
Yes. Yes.
Iggy just texted me, and he said he led St. Mary Magdalene to 5 CYC titles, 4th through 8th grade.
Did he?
That's a nice, what was that, like the bowling team?
Oh, I don't think they have CYC bowling.
Iggy's one of the best bowlers you'll find.
Yeah. I bet Iggy could fill it up from beyond the three-point arc.
I don't think they had the three-point arc then. I don't think we had it till my 8th grade year,
boy,
that's 1990.
Not to sound like a really old guy, but that three-point arc has really had a devastating effect on kids' basketball because that's all they want to shoot. I mean, a fourth grader will happily go one for 20 from beyond the three-point line rather than hit 18 of 20 layups. They don't want anything to do with that. They'll sit there and practice, and all they want to do is shoot three-pointers.
Discipline. That's coaching.
I thought at the young level, they should say the three-pointers count with like 2 minutes left in the game. Otherwise, we're not going to play the three-point arc. Then if you get behind late, okay. But they spend way too much time launching three-point shots, little kids. It doesn't work out.
When does that start? At what age are they hitting?
Just about whenever they play. Whenever they start playing, they want to fire them up from three-point range. Usually it's about 3rd grade, maybe, when they start playing full court, regular basketball.
My kid played in a 7-year-old, and I don't know if anyone's going to hit a three-pointer, but I tell you one thing. Whoever has the ball once it crosses midcourt, that's the kid that's shooting.
Yeah, not a lot of passing. Yeah. Soccer's the same way. I'm not passing.
Shot at Clarence Gilbert out of nowhere.
He had moxie, though.
He did indeed, sir. Doug, emails will be coming in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. What a day in sport. Blues, Blackhawks this evening. Matthew Barnaby with us. John Kelly with us. Cardinals, Brewers this evening. Jeff Passan with us on his book, The Arm. And, of course, Act Like You Know Me, Kobe playing his final game. And the Dubs trying to win 73 to break MJ, Pippen, Rodman, and Bill Wennington's record of 72 wins. Wow.
It's hard to believe in professional sports, in an era of free agency and a common draft, that one team could win 73 out of 82 games. That's pretty hard to believe.
You fan of winning a championship?
If anything else, it shows that basketball, more than anything else, the team can be controlled by a player or two.
That's why I think if you're going to pick a sport players. Where you think you could have an immediate impact as a GM, I'm talking about a layman, basketball, because really all you need is a big man, a couple of guards. You need 3 stars in the NBA.
They don't even care so much about the big man anymore. I mean, the era of everybody having a 7-foot center that you put down around the basket, I mean, those days are gone. They'd much rather you fire up 3-pointers.
Guys, my hot wife and her equally hot friend are going to see Laze Note to come up and join them. Hashtag tribbing. That's from the Franklin County Kingpin. Duh.
Well, I'll be at the game, but I don't know that I'll be able to get into the suite region.
Why?
Because my credential won't permit it.
Your credential says you go anywhere you want.
No, my credential says get up in the rafters there in the press box area.
Doug, that wasn't Bill Wennington's 72-win Bulls team. That was Luke Longley's. Thanks. 573.
Okay.
How could you make that mistake?
I didn't say anything about it.
Doug, maybe you shouldn't blame a line on the court. Instead, coach your team better, you old hag. That's in the Barnhart Brawler, who I believe you're sideways with. Or are you guys?
Yeah, we've been sideways a long time.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Of all the great Bulls teams, ne'er-do-well centers, mm-hmm. would you go with Will Perdue, Bill Wennington, or Luke Longley? Who would you go with?
I think Longley was probably the best of that group.
Need a good guy in that triangle offense. You need a good big man who can pass a little bit, Doug.
Yeah. But there are some teams now that don't really subscribe to that theory that you got to have a 7-footer in the middle.
I would.
What up, Bogut? What's up, Tim?
I would. I'd get myself a center with a good wide base and a soft touch around the rim. I'd get a little scat back point guard.
Jitterbugger.
And a 3-point shooting wonder as the two.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm winning NBA championship.
Right. Well, you made it sound pretty easy there to put it all together.
Well, you just got to be able to identify talent, and I look across the console and I see talent right where you're sitting, Doug.
Oh, my God!
Yeah. Well, then you never saw me play basketball.
Well, I heard you were good.
You were a St. Kitty's.
I heard you were a good player.
I didn't play at St. Kitty's. I played at Tillman Elementary and Crestwood Elementary.
And Kirkwood High.
Yeah.
I heard you were a good player.
Yeah, they had two runner-ups in the state championship.
It wasn't me. That wasn't me doing that.
But you played. You were a starter on one of those teams.
No, I wasn't. No.
Great sixth man.
Not even that. No. As a senior, I was a starter and played. We didn't go very far that year.
Well, you know what you're supposed to do? If it makes the story better, you cobble the facts together. Hey, we went to the States a couple of years, and I was a starter the year after.
Yeah,
well, you know,
well, that's what it was.
Let the voice get low.
That's what it was.
Gravelly effect.
We had two fantastic teams, possibly the best in the state, and I sat on the bench.
Nice,
but
right
then, when I got a chance to play, we got knocked out early.
Just got this message sent to me by Facebook Instant Message from Nick C. Not Nixie, but Nick C. Tim, my hot wife and her equally hot friend are going to see Laissez Note tonight and have a suite. They want to know if Doug would like to come up and join them. Hashtag tribbing.
That's well, two of them. That's two of the same ones.
Perv out, baby. Perv out.
But see, now it's Facebook, so I can look up and see what his wife looks like. Be the judge of this. And we will judge her on the radio because that is really classy.
I think so.
There's no pictures.
It's easy to judge others from our lofty perch.
Right, because we're hot. There's no pictures.
Well, Tim,
Doug, don't go
possible,
to the suite unless you know.
Is it possible that he made up this story? Is that just even a remote possibility?
No.
Shut up, Doug.
All right, Mike.
All he has is a bunch of memes. That ain't cool.
No.
It's awesome that our listeners want to sleep with us.
It isn't. You've seen the listeners. How awesome is that?
It's hot. I like it.
No. There'll be no hooking up with the listeners, Tim.
Stephen Wildwood says, I'm going with my 16-year-old. Can we come up to the suite and watch the tribbing?
This is the fellow that would like you to raise his child.
Yeah, one of them.
Why don't you tweet out something about how we're on board with the Blues? Can you do that for me right now? I enjoy that.
You like the hashtags, though?
I always tweet at Tim, genius. Not in the same thread because I want nothing to do with it, but I do.
What's a sellout at the Scott trade? Like 19,200 or something like that?
I saw that they have like 2,000 tickets available on StubHub, ranging from like $54 to $260.
Really? I'd be surprised to hear that. But yeah, I noticed you didn't answer. Tim was looking for like a concrete number,
it's 19.
Kind of yesed him.
Like 19.
Well, he knew it was 19.
Okay.
He was.
I don't have an exact number. Do you?
In front of you.
I don't have it in front of me.
That's the schematics of Scott Trade
but it doesn't
right
give
there.
Me, it doesn't give me the exact number of seats.
Look, there's a little schematics. There's a tab that says exact number of seats.
There
just
isn't.
Click it.
All right. There will be 19,000. I just came up with 19,200. After all, what does it matter?
And Doug didn't help you.
There will be 19,200 screaming fans tonight at Scott Trade Center. I wonder what Stan Kroenke will think when he's watching. Hashtag STL Blues, hashtag tripping. Out it goes.
That makes your sin have
I
fire.
Love it. And Anna Marie, I'll do this, and she'll just be like, God, you're such a loser. And I have to agree with her.
Yeah, you can't argue.
Because I'm amusing myself with a stupid reference to lesbian scissoring.
Well, you're amusing me.
I guess I'm amusing
but
you.
But what is it about swimming in raw sewage?
It's me. I love it. I love it.
Really? That'd be a hepatitis risk, Tim.
It's the price we pay.
Yeah, I'm a little delirious. Got no sleep last night. Not going to get any today either.
No, I won't tomorrow. I'm not going to be much good to you tomorrow.
Are you going to head over to the ballpark, get a little pregame sound from those fighting Red Bees? Or are you all Absolutely. Blues? Because the Blues game isn't until 8:30.
I know.
You really could multitask.
I know.
But you don't want to.
I hope to go to the ballpark. I'm going to the Boop High.
I have plenty of time.
They've got that luncheon today over there that you guys never go to.
What luncheon is this, baby?
It's just that radio show people
I'm uncomfortable with that.
See there? You don't like it. You turn your nose up at the other people in the industry.
Not at all. Those people are on FM. They turn their nose down at us.
Well,
That's why I'm ashamed. That's what
it is.
Not
a big lunch guy anyway, Doug, as you know.
No,
hey,
you
let's
hate
have
food.
A lunch meeting. No, no, no.
It's not a meeting.
I'm just
sit
saying.
Down and have lunch. See people that you know.
I'm going to be there all day and all night. I'm good.
Guys, how
what
much are tickets?
What does that have to do with me?
How much are tickets going to the Trib Suite? Thanks. That's from the Hunchback of On Castle.
There isn't one suite set aside solely for tripping.
Well, you said you can't go anywhere else because of your credential. How would you know?
That's what I've read.
Well, someone wrote an article that there should be, kind of like the dance party room at Wrigley.
That's
ooh,
right.
Nice.
Let me see how Tim's tweet is doing.
Don't tell your mother.
Yeah, they got a couple $54 seats tonight.
The kiss mezzanine. One another.
How can that be? Aren't you
die
shocked
by
that?
We're cool for the summer.
Yeah, they're not bad. Right, you know, right behind the goal. Not bad.
The cat, I've got 8 likes on my tweet. Pretty excited about it.
Not the traction that I was hoping for.
Hashtag traction. What did hashtag traction mean from Strauss? The hell did that mean?
It means
that, I know what hashtag developing, but what hashtag traction?
They're very similar. Traction means that it's a narrative that is starting to pick up steam.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The rubber is meeting the road on it.
I like that.
You can sit lower level, section 102.
For $124?
$124. It's like at the Blue Line.
I wonder what those Friday...
Lower level.
I legitimately, actually, curious what the tickets for Friday night's game are. That would be a pony. Of course, that game 5, where wasn't it Taves that beat Ryan Miller, was a Friday night. Ooh, and I'm telling you, the Blackhawks fans outside, they were just asking for trouble. They were just trying to cause crap. And I'm not, I'll go to road games
city.
And say
you're supposed to defend
Cardinals
your city.
Are playing, and I see some Cardinal fans. I feel like it's attention-whoring cheering. But I don't feel like it's necessarily looking for scraps, although I'm sure there's some that do. But the Blackhawks thing after that game 5, I'm like, man, these guys are looking to get into a scrap.
Yeah, the tickets are a lot more Friday night.
I would imagine. What are we looking at, Doug?
Cheapest are 94. They're going for 54 tonight, 94 Friday.
What if we wanted to sit on the glass and press our nipples up against it, as David Beck says?
$249. They're calling them nip seats.
Nice. Nipsey Russell starred in Wildcats with Goldie Hawn, Woody Harrelson, and people forget about Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about him. He was also on the Match Game from time to time.
He'd say poems.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I send what will Stan Kroenke think when he's watching tweet, a few people in L.A. will go, he's not going to be watching.
No.
At that
Stan Kroenke should be arrested.
I think so, Vince.
At the Bud Light Zone up there at Scott Trade, there you see a lot of Blackhawk fans in there continuing their lubrication process. And there's fights in there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there were times where they had to just clear out some people because they were overserved. They arrived overserved. But Tim, I'll tell you what, you need to defend your city. If you go to a game and you see a Blackhawk,
you want me to fight? I'm nearly 40 and I'm 5'1" tall.
Get something started.
You know, if they're saying, "Hey, this city's no good," or
"Drop the mittens,"
I drop the mittens right there.
You know what you say? Say it to my face.
Nice.
Then it's on.
Yeah.
They probably won't because your dad will point a gun at them.
Right. There'll be some mitten dropping tonight.
Think so? Think there'll be mitten dropping?
Well, somewhere there will be.
What if there's a wakey wakey? Oh, mittens would go down then. Yeah. I bet the boys regret not dropping mittens then. Hey, it was a tight game, though, eh? Game
well, that's
two.
The whole thing. There's so much at stake. You got to be careful when you decide to drop them. That's why not a lot of fighting.
Hey, Tim, I'm about to like your tweet, so now you'll have another like, just so you know. Teehee. It's Juan, PP Corp.
It's excessive eliminating.
He's just supporting Tim.
Doug, don't forget about LL and Wildcats. Man, child 79. LL was in Wildcats?
Who?
LL Cool J is hard as hell? I don't think he was.
I don't know or care. I don't know or care.
I just don't think he was.
With the clumps of stick deodorant.
Yeah, that was from Mama Said Knock You Out, Unplugged. What was that, 91?
I don't know dates, Tim.
Clumps of stick deodorant.
Somebody needs to tell him on that. He's got to have a key grip say, hey, here's a little napkin, get the deodorant off, we're about to do Mama Said Knock You Out.
Or one of the older school guys like Big Daddy came pull him aside and say, yo, you got to go roll on. Roll on's the move.
You ever use roll on? Band roll on? Use band roll on?
I have in the past.
What do you use now, Doug? People want to know.
Just right guard, stick.
Do you use antiperspirant slash deodorant or just deodorant?
I think it's just deodorant. I don't
know. Well, you got because the antiperspirant makes sure you don't sweat as much.
Okay, I'm not a big sweater. I don't sweat.
You're cool.
Yeah. I'm blessed, is what I am.
LL Cool J was in it.
Oh, be darned.
And he played himself.
Yeah.
I know the feeling.
Why would you know the feeling?
And played himself in an indie film.
Yep.
Called The Great One.
Yep.
I thought that was Oklahoma that you were in.
Oh, you mother. Nipsey Russell.
He's looking at his face. Look at his face.
Very pleased with himself. Very pleased with himself.
Got you.
Nipsey Russell passed away in 2005.
What was his net worth, Doug?
Oh, I would think of right around the $5 million mark.
What do you think? I mean, I guess he was a popular comedian, but then he was on Match Game. I don't know if
he was on Carver D4. Where are you?
He was.
Was he?
Nope. With LL Cool J.
Fred Gwynn was good in that. let's see. Nipsey Russell.
I'm going to say $5
million. Hard to believe he'd be 100 years old in 2018.
Yeah. Boy, time flies. Net worth. Come on, I'm not getting anything.
There's a
Osama bin Laden came up on Nipsey Russell's net worth. What's that all about?
Was there a tie in there?
Department
or something?
Of Homeland Security. There might be a whole thing going on here.
Getnetworth.com says he was worth $4.5 million. Mm. Nipsey. I guess bin Laden stole the other half a million. That explains his picture.
He was on 227 with Jack Hay. She was sassy and slept with everybody in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get the idea.
About what? A big night in St. Louis.
A transitional device.
Just say big night in St. Louis.
Big night in St. Louis sports.
Didn't think we'd get to talk about Car 54, Where Are You again. I still remember the theme song, Tim.
Go ahead.
There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout troop short of child. Cruise ships do it idle wild. Car 54, where are you?
Wait, there was a cruise ship mention in there? So it was political.
Yep.
Fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. That's what they were doing there, fear-mongering.
You know, you could do that back then. That would be politically incorrect.
The guy who's trying to farm out his wife to trib in a suite is sending pictures to me instant messengers now while holding their infant son or daughter.
Oh, no.
Tim, you're up to 27 favorites now.
That
good
is
for
big.
You. Good for you.
That is big.
All people who just would like to get a little closer to you, who just want to say, sure, Tim, whatever you say, I'm on board.
Hey, what did you do today? I favorited a McKernan tweet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Makes me.
Timmy is the most intelligent person.
Okay, Al, stop it.
Tim McCarver asked me, hey, where did the cat come from? And I had to explain that you
it's
gave me the
we got to come up with a story on that because
really
it is a terrible story.
What's that?
Tim McCarver really had never heard that you were called a cat until yesterday?
Well, I guess. And I think he knew a couple of days ago. And he was asking me about how it came. And I said, Tim McKernan's dad's friend was nicknamed Johnny the Cat.
John Layton, who owned the building where KFNS
and
was.
Johnny Layton walks by, and I'm new, and Tim didn't know what to say, so he said Jimmy the Cat, and I was new, and everyone's like, I guess his nickname is Jimmy the Cat. Right.
That's it. That's
somebody
it.
Asked me last week on the fan page, well, how did we come up with the wonderful Jermaine Stewart's We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off? I don't have the answer.
No, we don't.
That would insinuate that there was planning.
I think we were discussing our love for cherry wine. We all enjoy cherry wine.
Mm, I've had any while.
You enjoy the close-off part. Mm.
Well, he was as dainty as the day is long. Holy moly.
Was he?
Oh, my God, yeah.
What was his net worth?
Doug Jermaine Stewart.
Jermaine Stewart net worth.
So Nipsey Russell's at 4 points.
Right about $5
million. Jermaine. Five.
Now, Jermaine probably didn't have Stewart. As much.
Stewart.
And if it's not a big star, it always says under review, as if they're working on it.
Now, Nico, no.
Nico Smith.
It's Nico Smith.
Different guy,
Doug. Net worth $250,000 for Nico Smith. Okay. Sometimes the numbers don't just pop right up, fellas.
Well, fill time. You're a communicator. That's how you make your living.
Okay, I would guess that his net worth is going to be right around.
Did he have anything other than we don't have to take our clothes off?
No, he didn't, Tim.
No, let's just say
look at that picture of him, Doug. You got any other questions
well,
about
if he only had the one hit, probably not worth $5 million. So I'll say his net worth is about $500,000.
When he was alive, he's passed.
Flip over to 101 and see if they're talking about this and then let us know, and we'll give them credit for it. Yeah, it does say $250,000.
Hmm. For Nico, not for Jermaine.
Jermaine Dupri. Jermaine Dupri balling, man. Jermaine Dupri balling.
Okay.
Let's see. The Tribber says it's sweet 214. So what are they going to do? Like lay out like a mat and oil?
They won't permit that.
I got to tell you something. That would get me to the Scott Trade Zone.
They won't permit it.
Blues and Blackhawks. Yeah, I got to go to bed. Tripping in Suite 214, I'll go down.
And Doug wouldn't go, except that they say, hey, Doug, there'll be free food. And then he would run over a guard to get there.
Well, if there was somebody down that way that needed a ride to the ballpark.
Doug, Audio Express allows you to listen to this program on FM with the HD radios. And as the weather warms up, people want to be able to roll down their windows and enjoy the tunes. We'll do so. Their car audio professionals are well-trained and look forward to answering your questions and showing you what will look best in your vehicle as well as your budget. It's Audio Express. It's how they stayed in business for more than four decades. Absolutely the lowest installed price guaranteed. So if you're finally ready to upgrade your car stereo sound and features and save big while you do, it's Team Audio Express standing by, ready to help make it happen. Today, we'll have the Frank Cusimano Hollywood Casino Lions Choice handoff coming up here in about 10 minutes. Frank with the Hollywood Casino Press Box from 10 to noon. Before we get to our emails, Doug, we have to thank our title sponsor because Ryan Kelly makes the whole thing possible.
And he makes, for a lot of people, buying a home possible. How does he do that? Well, he gets some mortgages. You might think, I can't afford this house. It's too much money. Well, sometimes you get a really nice mortgage like you get with Ryan Kelly, and that house suddenly becomes affordable through lower rates, better terms. This is what Ryan Kelly can do. Or you're saying, I may not be able to stay in my current house. Bills piling up. I'm going to have to... Well,
Not so fast.
Maybe you could refinance. Ryan Kelly does an awful lot of refinancing. So if you have a loan and the rates are not in the threes, you need to call Ryan Kelly. He was just named the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest by the Scotsman's Guide. Number three in the entire country for FHA volume and number nine in the nation for most loans closed last year. That's really something. Number nine in the entire country for most loans closed. How does he do it? Word of mouth advertising. For the most part, people go to Ryan Kelly. They get their loan there. The whole process is so easy and simple and great terms that people go back. His number is 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. Why would you want to go anywhere else when Ryan Kelly is right here in our own backyard? Got a new office there in Brooklyn.
Yes, he does. We'll be there on Monday.
Yes. Check out his website, thehomeloanexpert.com. Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Time for the email today. Will the listeners ratchet up their emails just like the Blues are going to ratchet up their game in pursuit of Lord Stanley's chalice? Doug, what do you think?
Well, I think they probably won't.
Okay. Wow. Doug, this is from a woman.
You okay, Tim? How can you be sure, Tim?
Because it's from Fred from the poor part of the nail's wife, who I've met. And she legitimately is attractive.
He's taken a picture with a gal that I don't believe to be his.
I've met her.
Another.
I've met her. And I met
here,
Bubbles
let's
girlfriend.
Hear from her. Let's hear from
her. Yeah, let's see what's doing. Morning, gents. Recently on the show, the subject of lesbianism and my current attempts have been up for discussion. I wanted to share some more of my experience and encounters with you. Oh my God! See, when my husband started listening to TMA, his love grew more towards the show than our relationship, leaving me lonely and horny. From that point, a close friend had approached me expressing her desires of lesbianism. Mm-hmm. Giving it my best attempt, I found that I'm completely satisfied, but even still, I must admit, it's still missing one thing. I myself find that my husband was right. When I think of Doug, which I do often, I touch myself.
Oh, jeez.
Think about it, Doug. MFF, yours truly, Mrs. Fred from the poor part of the nail.
Mm. Wow.
That is a nice little offer,
Doug,
sir.
Doug is unhappy with this attention.
That wasn't from Mrs. Fred. That was from Fred.
The email says, Amanda.
Fred. From the poor part of the nail.
It said Amanda, so I'm going with Amanda.
Thank you.
Amanda. Fred.
Gentlemen, I'm aware that this email is late. I just read what they send in. Sometimes the words will throw you off because there are words inappropriately scattered about the sentences. I'm aware that this email is late, but that's okay because thanks to me, so is Doug. Giggity. Anyway, here's the good doctor's recap after meeting you three at Llewellyn's on Monday. First of all, along with the broadcast hero's dad bod, even his pincers are tight and rewarding. Secondly, the cat, I think your grip was strong and quite strong. Still slight room for improvement, but I agree, sir, you and I can make America great again.
Yep.
Finally, Mr. Vaughn, We shook our hands up. We shook our hands down. Ah, yes, hands. For the record, I also shook Bull and the Apache's hands before I met you.
Oh,
so
no.
I guess it's kind of like all four of us have slept together. Maybe next time we can meet and use our hands for more useful activity like a Dutch rudder. Perv out, baby, perv out. Christ has risen for the lot of us, Dr. Woody Bender.
Doctor
Resurrection.
Woody Bender.
I hope he wasn't serious about touching the other guy's hands.
I think he was.
Cucky the Dwarf has arrived. This is titled TMA Blues Blackies Edition. I can see it now, fellas. Plowsy and I get real high-like because it's safer than drinking and head down to the Scotty T. Terry T. for Game 7. Do they call the Scott Trade Center the Scott T. Terry T.?
No.
They should. It's the third overtime, and as Plowsy cheers on the Plowhawks, Stasny glides down the ice. He makes a sweet move around Keith and spots an opening. Everyone holds their collective breath as he dishes a saucer pass over to Fabry. The kid shoots. The kid scores. The Blues win. Blues win. Hugs, tears, goosebumps, erections. Ah, magic. Also love the Tommy John talk. I just had to get Dougie Vaughn surgery. It's an operation where you have your brown balloon knot tied back on.
Okay, that's enough.
Destroyed by a plethora of gentlemen of all shapes and sizes. I'm post-op and recovering, FYI, I'm sorry. Cucky the blues-loving dwarf.
Cucky the blues-loving dwarf has just been suspended.
Is that really
a
surgery?
He's just now been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name went into the Ragazzi's suspension logule.
I think that Veronica Avlov could use that surgery. She's got a whole thing going on down there.
Who's she play for?
Evil Angel. It's another day inside the windowless newsroom of KMOV. An eager young reporter who has just hired away from the bustling Jonesboro market for a 15-cent pay raise. Boy, this—I'm telling you—these are coming from the inside.
I know. Could be coming from this building.
For a 15-cent pay raise, is instructed to learn from Doug Vaughn, a giant in the business. Vaughn smokes Virginia Slims and looks so weary from the years of working to provide scores from outside Busch Stadium. Mm-hmm. He goes over that night's script, a 20-second recap of the Cards game, 5-second sound of a player saying, quote, he felt good out there. Here's a little facade of a 2-star Mizzou basketball recruit. To fill out the last minute, Vaughn says he'll stand at the desk and chat. Boy, those Redbirds are rolling, Savard will say. They sure are. They've got a heck of a club, Vaughn will reply. End show. The young reporter is impressed with Vaughn, who says not everyone can be on local television, and even fewer can do it well. When you see the paycheck, it all makes sense, Vaughn says. Doug, that comes from Horny in my Lime Shanty.
Horny in my Lime Shanty.
Mm. Good morning to the thrice of yous. Yes, the Cardinals' home opener was Monday. Yes, the Blues start their run for the Chalice tonight. But there is bigger news on this 13th of April. The hashtag Freedom Open is 1 month away. Wow, wow, wow. I can't wait to go to Dick's to get my balls. I can't wait to watch my weight shift and keep my head down. I can't wait to line up my putt from the frog's hair. I'm ready to ditch my cart and bag and just carry my sticks in a bundle. The Long Loomsters, yes, it's redundant, have been listening to Coach Doug for a little while and are prepared to finish 70th in a 70-team tournament. Love you boys so much, the Long Loomster.
Long Loomster.
Guys, I'm hot. This at Ryan BSTL guy clearly knows nothing about wrestling and sure as hell doesn't know anything about recapping it. Larry's recaps are always accurate. After I spent last night breaking down the film, I'll tell you why. Yesterday we heard Dr. Phil, yes, that Dr. Phil, tell Ric Flair's daughter, and I quote, you're using your daddy as a crutch. You don't need him to win in the WWE, end quote. When the clip stopped, Larry was asked what happened, and he responded with, Dr. Phil told Ric Flair's daughter that she was using her daddy as a crutch and didn't need him to win in the WWE. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what happened in that clip, and had Larry not been there to explain, we would have never known. Then seemingly out of nowhere, Dr. Phil just started repeatedly yelling, woo, while a 67-year-old Ric Flair began hitting himself and then falling on his face because, quote, he's Ric Flair and he can do what he wants, end quote. I was certain this part was made up, but upon further review, that actually happened. Don't blame Larry for false reporting and outlandish claims. This crap is actually happening on TV every week. Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
Matt, who
Thank
bowls
you for the clarification.
At Hanks.
Guys, Pops here. Man, am I loose. I feel like a bowl of Jell-O right now. My 30-minute massage from Father Mike that I bought at that charity auction was the best $1,200 I ever spent.
No, no, no.
You talk about deep kneading. Is that how you say it? Kneading?
I think so. Yeah.
Doug, this guy could knead like the Dickens. Father Funny Knuckles, they call old Padre. It was so cool. He did this aromatherapy treatment for free. He had me smell his magic cloth, which he said helps you relax and decompress. Damned if I didn't wake up 4 hours later in an abandoned building 40 miles south of Festus. I had to hitchhike home, which I thought was strange because I was without pant, but all in all, a nice rejuvenating little Tuesday. I feel like a spry young deacon, so thanks to Father Mike and to Tercel, the African-American gentleman who coincidentally drove a Toyota Tercel and picked my nude little self up along 55 yesterday. I promised him a shout-out, but after this, no more shout-outs. Thanks, Misty Plops.
Misty Plops.
Father Mike.
Plops.
It's unfortunate.
I think.
Yeah, it really is.
Sup Blues, game one. Fabry, two goals. Blackhawks, one goal. Cardinals, gonna win. Corn dogs, mustard, fries, ketchup, pickles, fry. Cats, goal. Tim, the best. Doug, bitchy. Me, bitchy and horny. Gots to skate. Peace to you, theirs, ours, and Ken Hitchcock. Flocky the Smurf. And that's what we have for the email today.
Smurf.
Show me what you got, little mama. Show me what you got, little.
I can't remember who did what, so I'm gonna go Matt who bowls at Hanks because he did clarify that Larry Nickel is great.
I had a couple check marks by Horny and my Lime Shanty.
That was a good one.
I think he was overtaken by Misty Plops right there at the end.
I go with Horny and my Lime Shanty. I thought it was obvious, but I have to go to the Speaker of the House because it's up in the air at this point.
Well, it was a late entry, and I have to agree with Tim, of course. It's Horny and...
Yeah, Lucas!
Yes. Horny and my Lime Shanty, which might be coming from inside this building, Doug thinks.
Very well.
Doug might have just won a gift certificate to Dirty Dogs. Frank's up next. It's the Lion's Choice famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano's Hollywood Casino Press Box. Lion's Choice. Get the soppins, get the fixins, get that delicious roast beef and fries at Lion's Choice. Time for us to shut it down for Kyle, for the Plowboy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and for Douglas Elvin Vaughn. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports. 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.